her, so she was happy.
We're back. News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples talking here with Dr. Stephen Higgs. He's the director of the Biosecurity Research Institute, and always a pleasure to chat with you because a lot of folks, everybody here at the radio station just enjoys when you come on the air. I've talked to the ladies up front, other people in the news department, Dave, and we're always excited to talk to you. I think you're one of the most fascinating people here in Manhattan. So just wanted
to... That's very kind of them. I miss actually coming over to the studio and seeing you all.
Yeah. We all miss having you here, definitely. And that'll probably change at some point. Let's hope, cross our fingers, we'll get to lift some of these restrictions. But even so, there's other things going on here with COVID-19-related issues with BRI. Some positive news here. I understand you got some grant money coming in for equipment?
Yeah, that's correct. Thanks for asking, Brandon. Yes, so... you know, you've probably heard about this CARES Act, the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security that Kansas got over $1 billion for. And there's this SPARK program that stands for Strengthening People and Revitalizing Kansas. And so there was a considerable amount of funding available. And our vice president for research, Peter Dorhout, got in touch with myself and some researchers. And basically said to us, what do you need to kind of build new capabilities at the BRI related to this virus? And so we've got a number of researchers at the College of Vet Med who work at the BRI on vaccine development, vaccine testing, but actually development. So Dr. Dorhout talked to them, and so the decision was made that we would submit a request for equipment related to sort of scaling up vaccine production and testing capabilities. You know what it's like. I mean, an analogy would be, you know, cooking a meal for three people versus cooking a meal for 200. You can't just increase the quantities of each ingredient and assume it's going to taste the same at the end of it or even be warm. And so our researchers have been doing vaccine studies on, for example, African swine fever, and those technologies translate into other pathogens like SARS-CoV-2. And so what we're now getting is $600,000 worth of equipment and some more related to sort of scaling up vaccine capabilities. So one of the things we've got is a bioreactor that can produce up to 50 liters of a vaccine preparation. So I had to look this up, Brandon. 50 liters is 13 gallons. So that's a lot of buckets of vaccine in simple terms. So we've got that equipment already rolling in to the BRI at the moment. And then there's a possibility of us getting more in the future. All the money has to be spent by the 31st of December and the equipment received by then. So that's a complication because a lot of this equipment is not exactly on the shelf. You know, a $250,000 piece of equipment, that's expensive inventory. So a lot of it is often purpose built. But we've got some very large boxes at the BRI waiting to be unpacked at the moment and installed. So that's exciting. That's moving our capabilities to a level that we haven't previously had.
So knowing that equipment's coming, yeah, what does that mean here for us locally? Will that, any research that's done, and what happens if you have some successes here? Does that go to a lab somewhere else, or where does it go?
So how this works is we make a great effort to develop relationships within industry partners. It's not like we will suddenly be producing vaccines for general use, you know, in the local community. But we already have relationships with industry partners, both in Kansas and elsewhere. We have technologies licensed so that revenue would actually return to the university. So that's how that's done.
Okay.
We've got the Institute for Commercialization. We've got great expertise here at Kansas State to develop those relationships and get all the paperwork signed and the agreements, et cetera, and the licenses.
Okay. Because, you know, we hear about the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, but there's probably going to be several more here after that, and those are still being researched and developed.
Yeah. I mean, there'll be more of those vaccines, but sadly, we never know what's around the corner. You know, we don't know what type of pathogen is waiting out there to take us by surprise. It'll probably be something that we know about, or we have some knowledge. But, you know, one platform for a particular pathogen to develop a vaccine, it doesn't necessarily work for everything. So that gives us the versatility to work on multiple different types of vaccine as new pathogens come along. At the moment on the horizon, there's an avian influenza, H5N8, I think it's called, where the United Kingdom, the Netherlands, Germany, I think it was in Poland yesterday, they're killing thousands of poultry at the moment because this virus is increasing. Russia's killed tens, hundreds of thousands of chickens, and they've already found it in wild birds. So, you know, that's on the horizon. It could be heading our way. The good news is that this one doesn't seem to be particularly harmful to people.
Well, obviously, when you have viruses affect the food chain, the food supply, that can be devastating, not only to, you know, us consuming the food, but the economies. It could cripple an economy.
Oh, that's right. The last time we had an influenza outbreak, which, you know, we got under control in a year, between 2014 and 15. I mean, we lost 50 million chickens and turkeys, and it cost the United States $3.3 billion. So these things can have an incredible impact.
I remember that very well. I remember going to the fair and not seeing chickens. That was
My turkey's in the freezer for Christmas already.
Oh, very good, very good. Well, let's talk about some other highlights going on at BRI here. This is kind of an annual thing here, but you'll be shutting down some production here for. We were talking about it during the break, and I'm sorry, I'm
about,
forgetting.
About 2.5 months. So, you know, so the thing that we always think about, as I've always said to you, is safety and security foremost. And, you know, that's the beauty of the BRI and Pat Roberts Hall. It's a very safe and well-contained, secure environment. But every year, as a part of routine, we actually delayed this year to enable some projects to be ongoing. But we shut down one area of the facility from the middle of November until the middle of February this year. And during that time, our staff have got carefully coordinated preventative maintenance, filter changes, all sorts of things. Like I say, you know how complicated this building is. So it's an incredibly complex process of maintaining things, upgrading it, changing filters. I've got a phenomenal staff here, operations and management and biosafety and research support, everybody IT, that all pull in the same direction at the same time in a coordinated fashion with contractors to get everything renewed and ready to go in February.
Wow.
It's like I say, it's important. This is carefully coordinated because researchers, they don't want a gap in their research. But by doing it in this very well-planned way, they know exactly when they have to shut down the research and when they can get back into the lab. So it's slightly disruptive, obviously, for them, but not as disruptive as if you have to do this sort of maintenance under an emergency situation. Fortunately, we've never had that.
Very good. And I know safety and security is number one priority for you guys out there, BRI. I have to ask this because being on a Zoom call with you, I see the background here. Is that your office by chance?
It is. Yes. Yeah, it is, Brandon. So what are you looking at?
I'm looking at the big mosquito. What is that thing up there?
It's a Texas mosquito. So it's a mosquito. It's a huge plastic mosquito. I've used it for teaching for years. It was actually made in Germany. It all pulls apart so you can see all the internal anatomy and the organs of it. So it's great for telling people. I've used it with politicians. I've used it with students, where you can show people how the virus goes up into the mouth parts, into the midgut, and back around to the salivary gland. It's a fun toy. It is a $2,000 plastic mosquito, Brandon.
Wow.
So if it's on your Christmas list, personally, keep your expectations maybe a little low.
That would scare my children. That's what that would do. It's scaring me here just looking at it over your shoulder there. But yeah. That's
and
pretty.
You see the microscope collection back there. I love microscopes.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It looks like. I can't tell, but it looks like gold here. It's probably just the way the light's hitting it, though, but I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot. Those are the ones up there. They're all the brass microscopes that I've collected over many years.
Cool. Very good. Well, fascinating discussion here with Dr. Higgs. Thank you so much for joining us here this morning, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Yeah, a pleasure. Thanks so much for everything you do, and wishing everybody a happy Christmas and a more relaxed new year than this year has been, perhaps.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, I echo everybody well.
Thank you so much. That'll wrap up our show here for today. Tomorrow we'll have some city officials on. Mayor Yusha Reddy, her final appearance as mayor on In Focus, and we'll also have City Manager Ron Fear joining us tomorrow as well.